This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
Next week, we're going to have a little celebration in between the 9 and the 11:30 in the hall. So we'll be celebrating Deacon Dave's 5th anniversary of ordination as a deacon, which was April 18th. And Deacon Andy's 40th anniversary of being a deacon. We'll be celebrating Monday. And then just a couple of days later is my 31st anniversary of being ordained a priest. Kind of funny when I think about it, you know. I started out, I was the new young priest. Now I'm just an old war horse. So you may have noticed I brought the statues back. And things are a little different in the background. The idea of the background there was to show the monasteries where St. Teresa and St. Anthony prayed and spent their life. So a little context, a little more depth behind the statue other than just a painted wall. So somebody was asking me, I knew they would ask me, Father, the French Alps look awfully close to the monastery. Were they that close to Lisieux? They are now. So, you know, I designed the image, Lisa painted it, but, you know, it was a little artistic license. You want to embellish it, make it look nice. So, you know, made some adjustments. So we have the water coming down from the French Alps, coming down a beautiful waterfall. I was trying to get Lisa to paint a little bottle of Perrier there on the side. She didn't seem to go for it. Tried to get some cannons on the ship over there in the Mediterranean. She didn't go for that either, but man. See, it's a good thing I'm not painting it, you know. Who knows what it would look like if I was painting it. Now, today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So there's a few things that I'd like to talk about. I have this really nifty book here. It's a scripture catechism written by yours truly. And page 12, I have several definitions of the Holy Spirit that I took from Scripture, and I have the references. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is God, okay? We have the Holy Trinity, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, of course, speaks about the Spirit coming, which is the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of God, okay, comes to counter the many spirits of lies. Because, you know, there's one Holy Spirit, but unfortunately, thousands and thousands of unholy spirits that are running around, and they are not spirits of truth, they are spirits of lies. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit dwells within the servants of God. He makes our bodies his temple. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of joy. And the Holy Spirit is power from on high. It helps us under persecution and is given to those who believe in Jesus and keep his commandments. Now, our gospel yesterday, I like a little better than the one we read today. And it's from John 7. So Jesus says, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Like, what's that mean? Okay. Well, the body thirsts for water, but our soul thirsts for the Spirit of God. We want to be filled with grace and the Holy Spirit. What do we say in the Hail Mary prayer? Hail Mary, full of grace. Our soul thirsts for grace, thirsts for the Spirit of God. We're not always aware of it. The more we pray, the more we are aware of the desires of the Spirit, and the more the desires of the Spirit are able to overcome the desires of the flesh. So Jesus says in the Acts in the Garden, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. So the more we pray, the more we recognize and benefit from the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. So Jesus goes on to say, it's a little obscure passage, it's very short, but it was the gospel for the vigil for the Pentecost. So Jesus stood up and exclaimed, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow within him. And you might think, well, that's Jesus, right? Well, in this particular passage, Rivers of living water will flow within him who believes in me. So we will have rivers of living water, meaning rivers of grace and the Spirit of God. He said this in reference to the spirit of those who came to believe in him, who were to receive. There, and this is an interesting line. You're like, what? There was, of course, no spirit yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And you're like, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit is God. There has to be a spirit. Yes. But the context in which the statement is being made is there was no spirit yet, meaning the way the Spirit will come at Pentecost. Now, in the old covenant, the Spirit would come and go, the prophet Elijah and things like that. And King David got anointed by the prophet, and then it said the Spirit of God rushed upon him from that day. And so there's the Spirit is at work, but the Spirit is limited in the old covenant by the old covenant because Jesus hasn't come yet and paid the price for sins. You know, you don't have the passion, death, and resurrection. So that's why it says that there was no spirit yet, meaning the spirit couldn't come with the power of the passion, death, and resurrection, with the power of the complete forgiveness of sins and paying the debt for our sins because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. So let's think about what's going on with Pentecost and Jesus. Let's think about it a little bit. Okay, so in a sense, I call Pentecost the second incarnation of Jesus. What do you mean by that, Father? Well, okay, so Scripture says in John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus comes, but he's outside of us in his own person. Then at Pentecost, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And what is the flesh that he dwells within? Us. What does the Scripture say? We are the mystical body of Christ. How does Jesus get within us? How does he dwell within us? Through faith, through baptism. What do they do on Pentecost? Peter preaches the gospel. 3,000 people listen to the word of God, and the word becomes flesh within them because they then become a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does St. Paul say? Do you not know that Jesus Christ dwells within you, unless perhaps you are a reprobate? So when we believe, when we're baptized, Jesus dwells within us. He makes his home in our heart and mind and soul. It's a wonderful thing. So after they hear the word of God preached by St. Peter, what does it say? They baptize 3,000. So the birth of Christ coming within his mystical body, the birth of the mystical body of Christ, the church is on Pentecost. So we see this powerful moment. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, Father, your job is to represent Jesus. Yes, and I will be judged frighteningly on the day of my judgment, which is something I'm not exactly looking forward to. But in any event, it's going to come and I've got to get ready. So, when I consecrate the Eucharist or forgive sins, I am acting, what they say in Latin, in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. So, God uses my voice in my hands, and I say, this is my body holding the bread, and Jesus working through me as his instrument of the holy priesthood through the sacrament of ordination. Jesus works the miracle and takes the bread and changes it into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And so we have the Mass. And so the church, the mystical body, which is born, we become like spiritual babies, we're born through baptism, we are nourished, we are fed by the living bread come down from heaven. And so the priesthood is the only way you're going to get the Eucharist. So then the priesthood is the instrument that Jesus has chosen to feed, to nourish his mystical body, that it may grow. And so, we see how the sacraments work together. But getting back to the idea that, it's all me. No, I'm not carrying the world on my shoulders. You're also carrying the world with me. Together, we form the mystical body of Christ, which continues the work that Jesus began on the earth. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He walked on the earth, taught, did miracles, founded the church, gave us the Eucharist, the priesthood, the forgiveness of sins, went back to heaven. No, Jesus is gone. Oh, well, that's it. Not quite. He comes back within us through Pentecost, through the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, I will pour out my spirit upon the flesh, men and women. So Jesus pours his spirit within us. And so we become the the voice of God, the helping hand. When we do the works of mercy, when we feed the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, God is doing that through us. Jesus is doing it. When people say, where is God in this modern world of you know, sorrow and sin and evil? With us, we become the hands and the voice of God doing good. And then we are countered by the people who live in mortal sin and have rejected God, and they become the hands and the voice of the serpent doing evil. So the weeds and the wheat grow together, and they basically combat each other. One group attempting to do good upon the earth, one attempting to do evil, to bring sin. And so, you know, the works of mercy, to forgive all injuries, to comfort the sorrowful, to convert or admonish the sinner, to instruct those who are ignorant in the faith, to instruct them in the faith. And so Jesus is at work through us. We are his mystical body, the church. And so that's the beauty of the faith. So where is Jesus? Jesus is with the church, with the people that do his will. Thy kingdom come. How does his kingdom come? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray that prayer and we live that prayer, we become the presence of Christ in the world. Now, you have two different kinds of births. So let's look at it. So you have the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and Mary gives birth in joy. But then the birth of the church at Pentecost. And then Mary is still our mother, because when Jesus dwells within us, then we have the same mother, Mary, and the same Father, our Father who art in heaven. So we are one with Christ. You know, Scripture talks about the importance, you know. St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. That's what we want. We want to be one with Christ. And we want to be him walking the earth, doing good upon the earth. And so prayer helps us bring our will in conformity with his, to bring his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Revelation 12, when the Pope explains it in his encyclical, I can't remember the name of it, some kind of Latin thing. Anyway, Latin's not my strong point. But in any event, we see in the book Revelation chapter 12, a woman clothed with the sun, which is, of course, the way Our Lady Guadalupe is, and crowned with 12 stars. What kind of woman has a crown? A queen. Mary's the queen of heaven and earth, of angels and saints. And then it says she wailed aloud in pain as she gave birth. You're thinking, wow, did Mary have a hard time at Christmas? No, she didn't have original sin. Where did she have a hard time? The foot of the cross. Father Solanus Casey, probably soon to be declared saint, Solanus Casey, he says, Mary gave birth to us in pain and agony at the foot of the cross. That's where Jesus said, woman, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. And so we see a description of her wailing aloud in pain as she gives birth. Because remember, the book of Revelation is a mystical book. So it's talking about Mary giving birth to the mystical body of Christ. It says she gives birth to a child who will rule the nations with an iron rod. Well, that's Jesus. What else does it say? Verse 17, enraged at the woman's escape, because the dragon's after her, but he never gets her, because she's conceived without sin. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Enraged at the woman's escape, verse 17, Revelation 12, the devil went off to make war against the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and give witness to Jesus. Oh, she has other children? That's right. That's us, the church. Mary is the mother of the church, of those saved. So you have an interesting kind of parallel to the birthing, okay? So Jesus is born through Mary in Bethlehem at Christmas. Then the mystical body of Christ is born on Pentecost. And of course, we're nourished by the Eucharist. Then if you think about Christ is the new Adam, what about the original creation? Did Adam have a mommy and a daddy like we do? No. His father was God himself who formed him with hands. What about Eve? Did she have a mommy and a daddy? No, not like us. She was taken from the side of Adam. Arguably, God's ultimate moment of creation. The woman was created last, so that's where he achieved the greatest. And women reflect the beauty of God. So the beauty of women, that's God's beauty that he shares with them. What about men? We are the strength of God. He shares it with us. And our job is to protect women and children. A very sad day for those who die and stand before God, who have failed in their job as men and gentlemen to protect all women and all children, even if they're not their immediate mother or daughter. It's the job of men to protect women. And when men attack women and children, they've really crossed the line, and they will answer to the Creator. A very sad day for them indeed. So Adam and Eve aren't born in the same way. And Jesus, of course, is born in a different way because he doesn't have a human father. Saint Joseph represents God the Father. So then Adam and Eve aren't born in a regular way. But who is born in a regular way? Cain and Abel. They have a mommy and a daddy like the rest of us. So the birthing of creation continues. But who is the real creator? It's still God. Only God can create life. Now, he created the life of Adam and Eve directly by himself. But now, through parents, we become the instruments of creation. God creates through the mother and the father, and new life comes. And so, too, Christ is born in us with every baptism. And so the church is Christ in the world, his presence, the birth of Christ. So that's what we got to remember about Pentecost. It's the beginning of the new birth of Christ, the sort of second incarnation, as it were, where we become his representatives. We walk the earth with Christ. We walk the earth doing Christ's will. That's why we need to be careful about what we say and do, you know? Scripture says man will be held accountable for every idle word. And, you know, I think about my idle words when I'm driving, and I'm frustrated with people that don't drive good, and there's, you know, idle word moment. Not a good thing. But so that's why we want to be praying, so that our words are his words. So when we pray the Our Father, it's a beautiful thing because our words are his words, and it makes us more like him. We pray the Hail Mary prayer. Our words are the words of the Holy Spirit. You know, given it Saint Gabriel, the angel, and Saint Elizabeth. So prayer is there to help us. And we have an awesome responsibility to represent Christ to the world. Matthew 25, an amazing, powerful chapter. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto me. Whatsoever you neglect to do to the least of my brothers, you neglect to do to me. So we are Christ to each other, in a sense. When I help my neighbor, I'm helping Christ. When he receives help from me, he's receiving help from Christ. I remember one time I was in the car and I was driving along, and I was kind of down about something. I said, oh, I wish I could talk to Jesus face to face, but I can't do that until I die. And I was saying to God, I wish I could talk to you. I wish I could hear your voice. And my buddy from high school called me on the phone. Guy I went to high school with and college, and we've been best friends ever since, you know. And he made me feel better. We had a nice talk. And I thought, okay, I get it, God. So my friend was the voice of God speaking to me. He was reaching out to help me. And so, you know, we help one another. We're in it together. We are the church. That's why we don't say, my Father who art in heaven, or you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, the sinner, now and at the hour of my death. No, pray for us, our Father who art in heaven. We pray as the voice of the mystical body of Christ, and we pray the Our Father and Hail Mary. Our Father who art in heaven. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So the beauty of being part of the mystical body of Christ, and it all began on Pentecost, the birthday of the church. So let's remember who we are. We are the mystical body of Christ, and we represent Christ to the world.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.